Hey, Nick.
Hey, John.
Right now, poised at the edge of the galaxy, Emperor Zurg is secretly building a weapon with the destructive capacity to annihilate an entire planet. I alone have the information that reveals his only weakness, and you, my friend, are responsible for delaying my rendezvous with Star Command.
You are a toy! You're an action figure! A child's plaything!
And this is Stranger Still.
To Stranger Still,
a podcast where we answer strange questions and stuff.
I'm Nick Wood.
I'm John Began.
Today we're gonna just play around. We're not gonna do anything serious. We're just gonna bust out some toys and just start playing with them, right?
Wow, dude, you should write for Radio Disney or something.
Is that something they would
you
say?
Got some kind of eye for what kids want to hear.
I know. Well, an ear for what kids want to hear? That rhymes, too. That works way
wow.
better.
Wow. See, this is why you're the Man. Writer.
All right, Disney, hit me up. You know my number. You're Disney. You have, like, all my information.
Yeah, multiple times.
I have a lot
times.
Of your products.
They probably hear this already.
Yeah. As we're recording it. Ah, that's creepy. So, John, we're talking about toys today, and this was kind of a tough one for me. I'm just going to part the veil for a second and just... I put up on the...
And kiss the bride.
And kiss the bride. And what do you know? It's a gorilla. That's a deep cut of...
What
we'll
is
get
that?
It right next year.
Oh, okay.
They talk about marrying a gorilla who's actually Scarlett Johansson. Go listen to We'll Get It Right Next Year. It's a great podcast. So I put up a poll figure out what people wanted to hear this month. And my wife, my wonderful wife, put on their toys. And that was the topic that we had for this month. And I had no idea where to go from there. I mean, we talked about what toys were like throughout history a little bit. Like,
yeah. So you, a typical fashion, to make sure that we fit it into the show, found toys that claim to cure cancer and prove the Earth's flat.
Yeah.
It's called a map.
Yeah.
It's a map. It's a toy of the flat Earth.
Yeah. You know, not a lot of people use that as an argument, but they probably should.
Yeah, that maps existed way longer than globes.
Right.
That's what I thought, too.
Well, I tried to find a way to make this interesting, and for whatever reason, I started to think about, like, war rations, of all things, just randomly. And I was like, I wonder how things like war rations impacted toys. But then I started to think about how other major world events impacted toys. Because we talked about it in our other episode we've done on toys, that kids' toys very often just reflect whatever else is going on in the world.
Yeah, because a lot of them have, like, mirrors on them because they're just little kids.
But, like, as something becomes more widely used, there's a toy of it, because kids are like, I want to be like my papa, my mama. So, like, my daughter had a toy TV remote, like a toy cell phone. Like, those kinds of things exist for that very reason. So, as things change, how did it impact what kids were playing with? And there's not a lot out there, but I still think that it's incredibly fascinating. So, I don't want to spend too much on, like, the history of toys, because we kind of already did that. So, just go listen to that episode. But instead, focus on a few key events within our human history that impacted children's toys. So we're going to talk about the Industrial Revolution. We're going to talk about World War One and Two.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the Cold War. Talk about television. And then we'll spend a little bit of time on the dot-com boom.
Wow. Yeah, those are some key events.
They are.
I used some key events on the way here.
To start your car?
No, I turned my Kia on and the vents kept me warm.
Oh, you have a key just for your vents?
No.
See how your jokes fall apart, John? So should we hop into it?
It's a Kia.
Oh.
You dunce.
That's pretty good. That's a good joke.
Underestimate me.
Let me go in the corner wear my dunce hat.
Yeah. Put it on. Strap it on.
Okay.
I want to hear that rubber band snap on your chin. Thanks.
Some Foley work. I don't... Oh, God. We're already off the rails. Speaking of off the rails, I think we should start where any of our episodes start, and that's...
With trains.
Actually, kind of. I mean... We should probably go a little bit before then, before the Industrial Revolution, because ever since we've had civilization, children have had toys. And we talked about this more in depth, but, like, way back in Egypt, there were dolls, and things similar to dice, like made out of bones and spinning tops.
They were just really gross back then. It was mostly you were just playing corpses of dead animals,
yeah,
probably.
Pretty much, yeah. Like roadkill.
Yeah.
Make a puppet out of it.
Yep.
Yeah, but then like Rome, like all the way from Rome to like pioneer America had like the old stick and hoop game where you had the giant hoop and you'd hit a stick and roll it down the street. And as obvious as it is to say, I think it's important to point out how rare most of these toys were. Because if you had a doll, it was likely made by your mom out of old clothes that you no longer
need. Someone that they've slain.
Someone's dead body.
Their skin is sewn
into a little
doll.
It's like a Weekend at Bernie's situation.
Yeah.
Life-size dolls. You'd have to like make your own hoops or spinning tops. And like the most advanced toy.
Hey, Nicholas?
Yeah.
I make all my own hoops.
Nice.
Swish.
Three pointers. That was the only basketball joke that I have. Space Jam. Y'all ready for this? So I think that, like, the most advanced toy the ancient kids had was probably marbles, which you'd probably have to like buy from a blacksmith or someone that can melt glass and sand. And anything like that that you had to buy was usually expensive because it was handmade by like one dude. It wasn't, there was no assembly lines, of course. There was no like dies that you could cast things out of to mass produce them. So most of these toys were purchased by well-off families. And one article I found, you kind of used the like the pull-along horses as their example for this. So I had like this portrait of this boy who had this really elaborate pull-along horse, like with the rope and stuff. And it was like the size of him. And it was all made out of wood and had like leather reins on it and like hair that was probably like real horse hair and stuff like that on this pull along toy. And
it was probably just a horse on wheels, dude.
It's just a real horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they killed it and then they used it. Is that what you're saying?
That's how things were made back then.
Yeah. Well, things changed, John. And that's thanks to the Industrial Revolution. Viva la Industrial Revolution. What's French for industrial? Let's just move on.
Industriale. That's in Italian.
The Industrial Revolution is where a lot of our toy problems began. Like, all the problems that we have with toys today are thanks to the Industrial Revolution. Because you start to get into the future, like, we got all kinds of great stuff out of the Industrial Revolution, like light bulbs.
Oh, well, I like those.
Communication devices and stuff.
Oh.
But now, like, those are toys, and that's, like, what everyone's like, oh, the kids just look at their tablets. Well, the tablet is just, like, a bunch of tiny little light bulbs.
Yeah.
So, thanks, Isaac Newton.
Can you imagine if,
jerk,
like, you had to change the little individual light bulbs that make up a cell?
I'm going to convince Rory that that's how it works.
Cool. Lie to your kids.
Yeah, that's just part of parenting, I guess. So the Industrial Revolution it started in like the mid to late 1700s and lasted until the like middle of the 1800s. And during that time, we got light bulbs, we got other things.
We got industrial music.
We got industrial music. We got, what's that, slam? Is that what it is? Where they just hit the garbage?
Yeah, like industrial metal.
Yeah. But we got other like processes that just made the whole thing easier, like assembly lines and cheaper materials, which let us mass produce things. We got stuff like the cotton gin that made cotton a lot easier to produce, and the giant looms that made fabrics easier to produce, so we could make dolls easier and dolls' clothes easier.
Yeah.
We started to mass produce a lot of metal products with like the casting molds, and the list like will never end unless we make it end right now, like I'm doing. So when it comes to toys, the most obvious thing that changed during the Industrial Revolution is that it made everything cheaper and more accessible. So whereas that pull-along horse back in the day would have been only accessible by the incredibly rich.
Yeah, now you could Google it and find an Amazon store that sells it.
Well, before then, they had these things called like corner stores where they'd go, and now like middle class and lower to middle class families could get all these toys. So it was great for them. It was more widely accessible. Instead of things being made from like wood and leather, a lot of stuff started getting made out of metal. And like this article showed what would be like a comparable pull-along horse, and I would argue it was more elaborate, but it's completely made out of metal and more accessible to the common family. So that's just one example, of course. But then we got a bunch of toys. Like in 1767, we got the first jigsaw puzzles. We got elaborate dollhouses, kaleidoscopes, building blocks. And we kind of, like I said, we explored all the other toys in the other episode, but we talked a lot about how toys imitate real life. So we started getting metal automobiles and trains and train sets and eventually planes and stuff. And eventually by the late 1800s, we started to see board games and stuff like the teddy bear. We saw like those classic flyer sleds with like the rails on the bottom, the metal rails on the bottom. Also the 1910s showed us the erector sets, which I thought were a lot more recent than that. That's pretty old, man. They're still around.
It's just so weird to think of the time just before these things existed. Like, hey, you want to go play blocks? Yeah, sure, whatever. Like, let's play train, but like, you don't know what a teddy bear is?
Yeah.
Never heard of it?
Yeah. Well, it's weird to me, and as we go through this, this will become more and more apparent. It's weird how a lot of these toys that we've had for almost 200 years are still just as popular today, especially a lot of the board games and stuff. And I bring up all like this metal stuff for two reasons.
Mm-hmm. One is because the first Monopoly game was made of metal, and it's still going on to this day.
Yeah.
It started in 1872.
Right. I got no jokes. They try to flip the table, but it's too heavy.
Yeah.
So they can't end it.
Right.
That's how every Monopoly game ends, and they just can't end it. So it's generations worth. poor family. So anyway, there's this little thing you may have heard of that happened called the World Wars. Have you heard of these? They're pretty popular, pretty famous.
Yeah, I think so.
The First World War was really the first time that a bunch of countries had a war with the power of mass production.
Are you saying walled? Did you say like
World War?
Oh, like where's Waldo?
Yeah, he's on the battlefield.
Okay.
Trying not to step on that landmine. Can you imagine that?
Where's Waldo?
Yeah.
We should make one.
Yeah. Coming this summer to...
He's wearing camo.
show.com/shop.
Yeah.
So anyway, they started like mass producing guns and planes and tanks and stuff. And eventually the world was hit with a metal shortage. And many of the metal toys that were being produced had to be put on hold. Like even wagons started getting made out of wood, stuff like that. Military toys were popular until about the middle of the First World War. You're right. I do say it weird. Thanks for calling that one out.
No, I was just thinking of where it's well done.
But eventually, like, the military toys kind of fell out of fashion because the World War was just so bad. And it wasn't until, like, 1930 that Nazi Germany started producing military-themed children's toys again. Believe it or not.
I wish that they would make more detailed military toys today. Like, I wish that you could get a Dick Cheney action figure.
And you know? It comes with a little friend with a detachable face.
Yeah, it comes with a waterboarding kit and whatever.
Give it 10 years, we'll have that.
Okay.
It'll be sold at Spencer's.
Yes. I'm sure that exists. I mean, if someone wants to send it...
Right, you Google that.
Yeah, let's get a P.O. box so it could get a digital reaction figure.
Well, by the 1930s, that's great that they started making military toys again, but America was already in the thralls of the Great Depression, and kids still had toys to play with, but everyone was forced into frugality, and kids started playing with whatever they had laying around. So there's a bunch of pictures of kids playing with old boxes and old furniture, and they'd build forts out of like shipping containers, like shipping crates and stuff. Oh, you found a beefy Dick Cheney with a shotgun.
Yeah.
It looks like it's from Robot Chicken or something.
No, you could buy these.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know your next year's Christmas gift.
Yeah.
I'll make a custom waterboarding kit.
Thank you.
It's like a Barbie's dream house, but it's Dick's torture dream house.
Yeah.
So anyway, as World War II started to kick up, there started to be another metal shortage until pretty much like everything from metal to rubber to gasoline was being rationed. And there was one law enacted on the toy industry specifically that the toy manufacturers couldn't make toys that contained more than 7% of iron, steel, zinc, or rayon. And
jeez.
Right? So toy planes, trains, and automobiles started getting made out of wood. And like I said, wagons started getting made out of wood. Like the red flyers, those were no longer like your classic metal wagons. They had to be made out of wood. So more interesting, though, is things like paper dolls started to become more popular. So they couldn't play with like regular dolls, so they just cut them out of paper and play with those. It's kind of sad.
Yeah.
I mean, when you put it in perspective of what we have today, it's definitely sad. Kids started playing with puzzles and board games a lot more to fill the time. We got a lot of really great games out of the Great Depression. Like we saw Monopoly.
Was it really that great, Nick?
Yeah, they're still around today, man. They're still making new versions of Monopoly.
Look, there's plenty of different versions of Depression, but just because that one was the Great Depression doesn't mean that you have to refer to it that way.
Oh, sorry. The Unfortunate Depression.
Thank you.
So in the 30s, we got Monopoly and Sorry. We also got Legos, but they didn't get like popular in the States until a little bit later. And then throughout the 40s, we got games like Candyland, Chutes and Ladders, and Clue. And I also think it's interesting, this isn't specifically toys, but it's perfect timing, is that comics started to become more popular. Like, comics had been around for forever.
Yeah.
We could do our own history on that. But it wasn't until 1939 that we finally saw Superman and Batman. 1940 gave us, like, Green Lantern, and 41 we got Captain America and Wonder Woman.
I didn't know any of those guys did stand-up. But, I mean, I guess there's always got to be a history for comics.
I don't even know what to say. That was just a really good joke. Just take a moment to appreciate that.
I'm like to keep moving forward.
You don't want to linger on it. So I'll bring that up because I'll wrap it back up at the end of the show. But then after World War II, all the soldiers started coming home, and America was booming. The economy was booming, but the effects of the world wars were everlasting. People still remembered them and were worried that it would happen again. So people's tastes changed, and eventually kids had to basically adapt to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So people said, "War that doesn't taste so good anymore."
Yeah, that's the famous quote.
Yeah,
war doesn't taste so good.
Yeah,
that's at the beginning of the Fallout trailers.
What does it taste like? Absolutely nothing.
Oh, that's a good song. So it became less about what things were made out of and more of what was being made. So since people still remembered the unfortunate depression, we saw a bunch of board games and puzzles still coming out. We also found things that you could do at home, like the original Mr. Potato Head. They would sell you the pieces, and then you'd have your own potato at home that you'd stick them into.
Yeah, it was really sad it was good for teaching patients too, because you have to plant him first,
mm-hmm.
and watch his body grow in some weird like laboratory in your backyard.
Yeah.
And then you'd pry him out of the ground and stunt his growth and stop him from growing as he slowly rot, while you gave him consciousness and the appearance of a life, only to watch it shrivel.
You made it really sad. But during this time, moving along, in the 50s, we also got classic games like Scrabble and Risk. And like with Risk and a few other things like G.I. Joe, there was like this weird military romanticism that came throughout the 50s and 60s. But we also got...
Risk it evolved quite a bit, because the first game of Risk was just walking like on top of the pyramid.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Like,
and then it evolved into like walking across a minefield.
Right. Yeah.
And then it became the global map that you know it is today.
Right.
Yeah. But then there's also the wide concept of the stay-at-home mom. Let's just say it like it is. Like, not a lot of women were in the workforce after the men came home from the war. So we also got a lot of...
Due to society's awful, you have to do this.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying it happened. It is what it is. But that gave us things like Barbie and the Easy Bake Oven came out of the 50s or 60s. And
that's where we started getting more like sexist or gendered toys.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There was also, as we started to talk about the Cold War, there was a moment where Barbie was dating G.I. Joe.
Whoa.
It was kind of funny. But there were a few other things. So there's never been a point where we've been like, oh my God, like since the Great Depression, where we're like, oh, we got to limit our metal usage. Like, we haven't had that. So from here on out, it's basically an all out frenzy for what we can get into our child's hands. So there's two other moments that I want to talk about that influence toys. The first thing is television, and if you will indulge me to lump the two together, I want to throw in their movies as well. Because we all know about He-Man.
The Barbarian?
Well, yeah, he's almost a barbarian. We'll talk about that. We also have like the Care Bears or the Monkey Keys.
Oh, it's Conan, a barbarian.
Yeah. He-Man's the master of the universe.
Thank you.
Yeah. There are shows like that that were specifically designed around toy lines. And before any of that, those shows happened, the government stepped in and said, TV shows solely dedicated to selling toys to children is illegal. And this happened, we can pinpoint it back to Tonka, which is kind of funny, because in 1969, Hot Wheels was scheming to make a TV show tie-in to help sell their Hot Wheels. And Tonka, their competitor, found out about this and went to the FCC and said, hey, guys, this looks totally shady. And the government was like, you know what? It does. That's illegal. You can't do it. Bunch of jerks. So the rest of this kind of takes place over...
They shut down what would have been a Hot Wheels cartoon?
Yeah, and made it illegal to make a show dedicated to selling toys. So even before a show was made specific... Like, we had toy tie-ins. Like, I remember when we talked about, like, Magilla Gorilla, there was Magilla Gorilla toys. But they weren't shows specifically designed around a toy to sell more toys. So they made that concept illegal, like, 15 years before... We had like He-Man and stuff. So there was this perfect storm of stuff that started to happen over the next decade. There's an event in 1977. There's this little movie came out. You might have heard of it. It's this thing called Star Wars. Does that sound? Did that ring a bell?
Is that the?
It's the one with Luke Skywalker. Have you heard of that guy?
I always confuse him with his brother Owen.
Owen's. Skywalker?
Is it Luke Wilson?
Oh, yeah. I see where you're going with this. That was a bad joke. So, in 1977, there's this little toy producer named Kenner. They secure the rights to make Star Wars toys, and it went over like gangbusters. Like, they still sell for a crap load of money.
What's a gangbuster?
It is where you have a gang.
Okay.
And you bust it up.
Oh, like a move?
Now that you say that, I don't really understand the expression.
Like, what does it mean?
I mean, we can stop the episode. I can look it up.
I want to know what it means.
All right.
You brought it up. Busters. Don't cut this out.
Etymology.
Wow, look at that word you're using. Look that one up, too.
Etymology? How do you use gangbusters correctly? Where did it come from?
How to use it correctly. And people know how to use it correctly.
Oh, here we go.
What it means.
It came from a U.S. radio crime-fighting drama called Gangbusters, which always opened with a cacophony of siren screams, pistols, and jarring music. So I guess it...
What year was that?
1940.
So, like, in the 20s and 30s, that didn't exist.
Yeah.
Weird.
You're, like, getting real trippy this episode. So, anyway, the toys sold like hotcakes, if you will, and every movie from then on has been trying to replicate the massive toy success that Star Wars saw. And a few years later, 4 years later, in 1981, Conan the Barbarian came out, and Mattel wanted to capitalize on that. Mattel eventually bought out Kenner, but I don't think they had him at this point. People didn't really, they found out, like, they started looking into it and doing, like, market research and found out that people didn't really care about a barbarian. They wanted someone more likable and relatable, so they started to do more research into it, and they started working on a concept with Filmation, which is
they didn't like him because he was mean.
Yeah, he's just a barbarian. He's like, I don't know, caveman speak, unga unga, you know. So they wanted someone more likable, and it just so happens that right before Christmas of 1983, the FCC loosened up those regulations that they put on television shows back in the day. So Mattel came in, partnered up with Filmation, and they made this little television series called Masters of the Universe. And that was the first show that was directly intended to sell toys. And that was in 1983. And then 3 short years after that, and this is a quote, 6 of the 7 animated shows broadcast each weekday between 3 and 5 p.m. were based on toys.
Jeez. I wonder what that 7th one was.
It was probably like... some educational show.
Yeah.
So that's where we got stuff like Transformers, G.I. Joe, Care Bears, Thundercats, Strawberry Shortcake, Ninja Turtles eventually even. I can't remember if it was like Phil from Deep in Bear Country or Kevin from Cybertronological was talking about how they went to go see the Transformers movie. And in that movie, spoilers, Optimus Prime dies, and the sole purpose of that was so that they could make new Transformers to sell and make more money. So they made this whole movie where Optimus Prime dies just so they can make more money. That was the state of toys back in the 80s.
That's amazing.
And taking
I remember that now.
Yeah. Taking a step back, there was I mentioned this before, there's a second thing that I don't even think that we would have Star Wars without. That's just my own editorializing, and that thing is called the Cold War. It's very brisk back then. You couldn't step outside your home without getting frostbite.
Air in your breath rise right up to the ceiling, just like a bomb.
And then it just explodes and
Cold War.
Goodbye family. So the space race with the USSR kind of influenced everything from...
So the space race, is that... Are you referring to all of humanity then? Is that like a weird, like a really trippy, like, because you're so deep?
Yeah, I'm a hashtag influencer.
Okay.
So... when the space race was going on, we were all, like, everyone was fascinated. Like, since the dawn of time, we've been fascinated with space. But now we had finally gotten to space. So we got tons of movies and TV shows to reflect our fascination with space. we got like stuff like I found some old photos of children's play equipment that looked like your ideal shape of a rocket and stuff like that. We got stuff. The original Frisbee was called the Pluto Flyer. We got that in 1955. But this is also the period where electronics started to join up with kids' toys.
What was it made out of metal then in 1955?
Oh, I think it was still made out of plastic.
Okay. Jeez.
It'd be painful, like a discus flying at your face. But electronics, like we had hit the moon, we landed on the moon, and during that time, computer technology exploded. So computers used to be the size of your living room for just like doing simple addition and subtraction. Yep.
My grandfather used to work on those.
Yeah. And now, like, well, not even now, like a couple years later, circuits and electronics were going from the size of your living room down to the size of your pocket, which meant that we could compact electronics and computers into tiny kids' toys. And I already mentioned like the Easy Bake Oven, but like one of the first board games that I could find that used electronics was Operation in the 60s.
Oh, man. I used to cry.
When you buzzed him?
It would buzz and it would cry, and I made my dad actually go in and physically remove the buzzer so that the light, the nose would light up just because I would cry so much and I was such a baby.
Oh, you poor thing. I feel bad for you. But in the 70s, we also got like the Magnavox Odyssey.
I wish everyone would feel bad for me, you know?
Yeah. Hashtag sad, John.
Thank you.
The episode of hashtags.
Thank you.
So in the 70s, we got the Magnavox Odyssey, which is the first home video game console. And that kind of progression has continued up until today. Pretty much anything that was made before now has electronics in it. And I don't think I need to talk about where we're at today, do I?
Well, you're going to get on the stuff.
I'm going to get on my soapbox here already.
I want to Fortnite.
No, not even that. Like, I want to address this.
I hate fun
and kids. Yeah. Actually, that
you
is
have more. Yet there are more toys in this room that are for you than in the entire house.
No, this soapbox is going to go a different direction than you expect it to. Because I want to address this growing concern amongst toy manufacturers, because after the closure of Toys R Us, all the toy manufacturers are worried that kids aren't playing with toys anymore. They think that they're only playing with tablets, which I think is bogus.
That is bogus.
So I found some, first of all, that's not why they closed. They closed because of predatory business loans that they were paying like millions of dollars every year just to keep the loan from like getting foreclosed on or whatever. I found some stats. Let's see what year this is. This was in 2014, so it's a little bit old. Maybe it's changed from now. But they were looking at children 12 years old and under and looked at like their playtime compared to a bunch of other toys. So board games were like 12% of their playtime very often. Puzzles were right in that window. Play vehicles were at about 16%. Game consoles were at like 25%. Construction and blocks is at 20%. Arts and crafts was at like 22%. Dolls and action figures were just below 30%. And touchscreens is only at like 38%. So, and this was over the course of, I guess, 30 years. I don't know what time frame this is, but they looked at a lot of children here. And why is it so bad that like they're not playing with toys? That's always my thing. Like, why is it so bad that millennials are killing the toy industry? Aren't you the same people that love social Darwinism and capitalism and free market? I thought that's just the way the world worked in your capitalist society.
These are individual companies. Are we building up a straw man, or are people actually arguing for this as a point?
Yeah.
Where have I heard this then? Where would I go and find out? Are there segments on Fox News that people are upset? I guess the tablets.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So that's my little soapbox. But if I could just, do you want to recap a little bit?
Yeah, everyone should get a Che Guevara doll. What's his name? We're going to get you some communist toys. They're going to be government issued.
Yeah. And everyone gets one for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Just to recap on my end, Industrial Revolution made everything cheaper. The World Wars gave us board games. Television gave us He-Man. And the dot-com boom gave us tablets.
So. And slime volleyball. And pocket tanks. And humongous entertainment like Pup-Up Saves the Zoo and Pajama Sam and Fatty Bear.
John didn't want to say this, but he's been over there playing Plants vs. Zombie Heroes this entire time.
Which is still, like, my favorite game on my phone. I play it every day.
Yeah.
No one wants to play with me. If you want to play with me on Plants vs. Zombies Heroes, you can find us on Facebook.
That's true.
And where else, Nick?
Well, we got to take a break real fast.
Okay? We're just going to say it in a second anyway.
Well, here's the thing. I need to take a drink of water. So
okay, go ahead and take a sip.
While some music plays.
No, no, no. I want you to sip and then play the music after your sip.
Okay, this is really
uncomfortable. No, everyone's going to wait now because now we know. You ruined the magic of audio. Go ahead and play the clip.
If people want to support us, they can go to...
StrangerSocial.com, Facebook, Twitter.
You can review us on iTunes.
iTunes.
I was doing the perfect layup, because if they want to support us, they can go to... If you want to support us, you can go...
Patreon.
StrangerSocial.com.
.com/shop.
/shop.
Doesn't rhyme. What was the layup? You were trying to make it a song?
I asked some of our listeners, if you want to interact with us, you can go to Facebook. And I asked our listeners what some of their favorite toys were growing up. What was your favorite toy growing up?
I had some of them with me last time that I brought back from New York when I visited. Yeah. I have like the entire Mario Kart set, all the action figures. I got a Wario and all that stuff. I don't know. I guess I used to play with a lot of Nintendo-based toys. But then I would build my own. So probably my Bomberman.
Yeah.
That I got from the 25-cent machine, and they would shoot bombs out of their belly.
Yeah. I was big into, like, stuffed animals and action figures, and I would just, like, pretend that they were in a video game. So I had, like, a Banjo-Kazooie toy or stuffed animal, and I'd pretend that he was, like, in Freeze Easy Peak.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Would you ever build stuff for them?
Not usually, no. The only thing I made out of, like, construction paper and stuff were, like, roller coaster amusement parks.
Cut the strips
and, like, twirl them up and stuff.
I tried to make a Mario Party physical board game with rules.
Why isn't that a board game yet?
I don't know.
That's the dumbest thing.
Because there's a stupid Monopoly version and there's not an actual Mario Party game. Like I said, there should be mini games on an app or something, too, that you'd correspond. I made, like, pipes and I made a PD Piranha.
Yeah.
From cardboard.
And you still have them, which is crazy.
A lot of them, yeah.
Nick on Facebook said Stretch Armstrong, which is back.
Yeah.
It's like Stretch Armstrong Force now, and there's a whole TV show.
Do you remember ripping them and watching his arms shred and the little beads go all over your floor forever? And they cause, like, uranium damage.
Yeah. Is that how that works?
Mm-hmm.
Jason Lee, good old Jason Lee, wants to know if Legos count because he had a big chest full of them. They absolutely count. That was a big one for us, too.
First of all, you shouldn't breathe in Legos. And second of all...
Stop.
it just doesn't seem healthy. It's plastic. Why would you want a big chest full of Legos in your lungs? That's terrible.
Yeah. We had like two big buckets full and we would dump them out on the pool table and leave them there for weeks and our parents would get really mad at us. Cody says Mighty Max, which I think is also back.
Oh, those are sick.
Wasn't that
Polly
like
Pocket?
Right. I thought they were like a derivative of Polly Pocket.
Same company.
Yeah. And he had his own cartoon. Colin said Sticks and Rocks, but Dirt was pretty high up there too. Sound like my dad. He used to, for fun, him and his brother would just dig a hole in the backyard because they're going to dig the china. They literally tried.
Wow.
My grandpa would go out there at night and fill it back up so they wouldn't get too deep. Ashley says Baby Alive.
Oh, gross.
Weird.
I hate them.
Rory has one that you can feed like applesauce and stuff and then it poops it out.
No.
Yeah, it does.
No.
Justin Vignola from this little network called the Flying Machine Network said that for some reason I had a pretty wide assortment of Spider-Man and Spawn toys, which I think is in Spawn toys is kind of funny. Many a time did a team of Spideys take down a team of violators in my imagination. Overkill versus Rhino, etc.
That's rad. I used to have a swashbuckling Hook action figure. It was Rufio. And I had Peter Pan.
Yeah. Those are pretty sweet.
Rufio on a skateboard, bamboo skateboard, was so sick.
Wow.
Rufio! You know, like Hook?
It's been a very long time since I've seen Hook.
Oh my god.
So I can't reference anything. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Phil Gonzalez of Deep and Bear Country and a couple other. It's Del Toro time and Click It Cast.
Yeah. I mean, people know him for many different things.
Yeah.
Some people just know him as his neighbor, as their neighbor.
That's true.
Like, they
Wouldn't
don't know.
That be weird?
I don't know. No, he seems like a really nice guy. Like, he probably like, trims his hedge
but
as well.
Can you imagine knowing Phil is not the Berenstain Bears podcast?
He's just part of the committee at school, elementary school.
The PTA.
School. Yeah. PTA Phil. I bet you PTA Phil is very similar to Deep and Bear Country Phil.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. We're not knocking you, Phil. I'm just saying, like, if I met you in real life and I didn't know you did a Berenstain Bears podcast,
get there eventually.
I feel like I would miss something in my life. There'd be a hole in my life.
Right. Yeah.
But anyway. He had like
the hole that some people do actually live with, you know?
Yeah, some people don't know that I do a podcast.
Right.
Can you imagine that? So weird.
Yeah.
You're missing a whole part of the world. Anyway, he had these like gremlin paper dolls that you'd like make scenery of the gremlins with. Did you see this picture?
I don't know. All I said is he should open a museum.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of awesome toys. He always posts a picture of like his office and he's got the best toys. But there's like a gremlin snowball fight that you can set up all the scenery of.
Oh man, that's cool? Nuts. Yeah.
And I was like, that looks like our fun.
Yep.
My brother Jake said Z-Bots, which were like
I had those
machines.
Too, dude.
He posted one picture. And I only recognized one, and it was this.
I have one with a drill, a green drill, and he has red gloves.
This one,
okay. The bottom on that bottom row, I have that the Birdman with the yellow wings. Yeah. Him, and I have the other one. I used to make the guy with the drill fly on that Birdman's back.
Actually remember a lot of these. Anyway, what?
I'm trying to tell you, first of all, he would fly on his back, and that's how they would get around.
Yeah.
And then he would drill into the ground with his arm. That's fine. You can interrupt me. I'm done now.
Ashley also said pound puppies, which I think I had a couple of those. I wasn't like an
What a terrible concept. The commercial had a dog catcher in it.
Did it?
Yeah. They're just, like, collecting puppies and, like, putting them in cages in jail.
Yeah.
For their species.
I think pound puppies are back, too. Let me look this up. A lot of the toys were just...
Adopt, don't shop, Nick.
Well, then I'll get some Cabbage Patch Kids. Did you ever have one of those?
Yeah, I had
Garbage Pail Kids.
No, I had like these cards.
Yeah,
it's Planet
Kids.
Craps. That's what it was. Oh. And they were scented.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
They're terrible.
Is that why you hate the word stinky now?
I don't know. I can't handle that word.
You got PTSD?
Yeah.
Should we see if we can get Rory in here and ask her what her favorite toy is?
Yeah.
All right, hang on. What is your favorite toy?
I like puzzles.
Puzzles?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite doll? Do you like your Dr. Barbie doll? No, you don't like Dr. Barbie? Do you like your princess dolls? Yeah. Who's your favorite princess?
Yeah.
Ariel. What's your favorite toy in the playroom?
Puzzles.
Puzzles, yeah.
I thought you liked... I think we played with Dr. Barbie, didn't we, Rory?
Yeah. Did you like playing Dr. Barbie with John? No? Oh, that's too bad.
Well, it's maybe because I had, you know, there was a whole storyline with, you know, she was about to lose her license and it got pretty complex and she was in a bit of peril.
Yeah.
So
they had to go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And...
Yeah, it wasn't covered in a prenup. And yeah.
Rory, what's your favorite toy at school?
Do you like your kitchen stuff?
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite thing to make with your kitchen stuff? Do you like making cheeseburgers?
Yeah.
Do you like making salads?
Happy birthday cakes?
Like making cakes?
You make happy birthday cakes? What do you put on them? They're frosting? And it's chocolate? Is it vanilla? No? Chocolate?
Yeah. I tried to get Rory to say, and this is Stranger Still, but she didn't. So I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.